Welcome to Ujjayini.com, your daily current affairs companion for UPSC and State PCs preparation. A significant development has taken place in India's energy sector, marking a major step forward in its ethanol-blended petrol program. The Bureau of Indian Standards, or BIS, has gazette notified the IS specification for E30 fuel, which is a blend of 30% ethanol with 70% petrol. This move comes after India achieved its E20 target ahead of schedule, and it signals the government's intent to push blending ratios further under the National Biofuel Policy 2018. First, let's understand the background of India's Ethanol Blended Petrol Program, which was launched in 2001. The target of 20% blending, or E20, was initially set for 2030. But it was brought forward to 2025 in the revised National Biofuel Policy 2018, which was amended in 2022. By early 2025, E20 had become the standard across most fuel retail outlets, with E10 and E15 being the intermediate milestones. The National Biofuel Policy 2018 permits the use of sugarcane juice, B-heavy molasses, C-heavy molasses, damaged food grains, agricultural residues, and lignocellulosic biomass as ethanol feedstocks. What makes this significant is that BIS, which is the apex standardization body set up under the Bureau of Indian Standards Act 2016, has made the IS specifications mandatory for commercial fuel sale. The E30 specification, which is 30% ethanol by volume blended with 70% petrol, is now gazette notified. However, it's worth noting that E30 requires flex fuel vehicles, or FFVs, or engine modifications, as existing E20 compatible engines may not run optimally on E30 without upgrades. The Ministry of Road Transport and Highways has mandated FFV capability in new vehicles from the 2025 model year onward. Crucially, every 1% increase in ethanol blending saves approximately 200 crore in the crude import bill annually, and India imports around 85% of its crude oil requirements, which amounts to around $100 to $110 billion per year at current prices. India's ethanol production capacity crossed 1,000 crore liters in 2025, with sugarcane-based distilleries supplying the bulk, and grain-based ethanol, which is made from rice and maize, rising under the FCI surplus diversion scheme. The environmental benefit of ethanol is significant, as ethanol combustion produces around 50% lower particulate matter and reduces co-life cycle emissions by 30 to 40% compared to pure petrol. Now, let's look at the pricing aspect. Ethanol ex-distillery prices are fixed by the government annually, and for the 2024-25 season, the prices are 57.61 per litre for C-heavy molasses, 60.73 per litre for B-heavy molasses, and 65.61 per litre for sugarcane juice and sugar. Remember this number, the E30 specification is a blend of 30% ethanol with 70% petrol. Note this carefully. The National Biofuel Policy 2018 permits the use of various feedstocks for ethanol production. This is a favorite prelims fact. The Bureau of Indian Standards Act 2016 is the legislation that guns the BIS. Now, how does this connect to your UPSC preparation? The UPSC angle for this topic is GS Paper 3, which covers economy and energy security. The National Biofuel Policy 2018 targets, feedstocks, and forex savings are standard prelims facts. In the mains exam, you may be asked to analyze India's ethanol blending as an energy security, farmer income, and decarbonization strategy. Moving on to the next topic, a suspected paper leak in the NEETUG 2026 examination has triggered a CBI investigation, Supreme Court petitions, and a government announcement that NEETUG will shift to computer-based testing, or CBT, from 2027 onward. The NEETUG, or National Eligibility Cum Entrance Test Undergraduate, is the single gateway examination for MBBS, BDS, AYUSH, and nursing admissions across India, with over 22 lakh students appearing annually. The 2024 NEETUG controversy, which involved grace marks and a paper leak in Bihar and Gujarat, led to the constitution of the Dr. K. Radhakrishnan Committee, which recommended a transition to CBT, modular scheduling, and third-party audit of exam centers. The NEETUG 2026 was conducted in pen and paper mode on 4 May 2026, and a suspected leak of question papers from at least 2 states surfaced within days, prompting the CBI to register an FIR. The CBI investigation is ongoing, and the NTA, or National Testing Agency, has announced that NEETUG will shift to CBT mode from 2027, while the pen and paper format will continue for the 2026 re-exam, if ordered, on 21 June 2026. Multiple petitions have been filed before the Supreme Court seeking NTA dissolution, mandatory CBT, and court-monitored re-examination. Now, let's lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. The NTA was established in 2017 under the Ministry of Education to conduct central entrance exams, including NEET, GMAT, QET, and NET. The NEETUG is mandated by the Supreme Court in Mohit Bindal v. Union of India, 2016, as the single medical entrance examination, replacing state-level exams. The CBT, or computer-based testing, reduces the physical paper leak risk, and the UPSC prelims use OMR, not CBT. The UPSC angle for this topic is GS Paper 2, which covers governance and education. The NTA reform, examination integrity, and right to education angles are relevant, as well as the role of statutory bodies in conducting national exams. In the mains exam, you may be asked to examine the systemic failures exposed by recurrent NEET paper leaks and suggest a governance framework for examination integrity in India. Now, let's move on to the next topic. The Supreme Court of India has held that euthanasia of dangerous stray dogs is permissible under strictly defined conditions, even as it acknowledged the Animal Welfare Framework under the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals Act, 1960. The ruling attempts to balance Article 21, which is the right to life and personal liberty of humans, against compassion for animals, and interprets the Animal Birth Control Rules, 2023. India has an estimated 35 million stray dogs, which is the world's largest population, and stray dog attacks kill approximately 20,000 people annually, resulting in around 18 to 20 million animal bite cases per year, according to WHO estimates. The Prevention of Cruelty to Animals Act, 1960, is the primary legislation, and Section 11 prohibits cruelty to animals. The Animal Birth Control Rules, 2023, mandate sterilization and immunization of stray dogs rather than culling, and prohibit relocation and euthanasia except in specified circumstances, such as incurable disease or injury, or rabid dogs. The Supreme Court ruling has modified the earlier interpretation of the Animal Birth Control Rules, which had generally precluded euthanasia for dangerous dogs absent disease or injury. The court has held that euthanasia is permissible when a dog is repeatedly dangerous and poses an imminent threat to human life, with strict procedural safeguards required, such as veterinary certification, municipal authority approval, and documentation. Now, let's look at the key facts. The Prevention of Cruelty to Animals Act, 1960, is the parent legislation for all animal welfare rules, and the Animal Welfare Board of India, or AVBI, is constituted under Section 4. The Animal Birth Control Rules, 2023, were notified by the Ministry of Fisheries, Animal Husbandry, and Dairying, and replaced the Animal Birth Control Rules, 2001. The sterilization and rabies vaccination is a mandated approach. The UPSC angle for this topic is GS Paper 2, which covers polity and fundamental rights. the scope of Article 21, judicial balancing between competing rights, and the role of PIL in shaping animal welfare jurisprudence are relevant. In the mains exam, you may be asked to critically examine the tension between human safety and animal welfare in India's stray dog management policy in light of recent Supreme Court directions. Now, let's move on to the next topic. The World Health Organization, or WHO, has declared a public health emergency of international concern, or FIC, over an outbreak of Bundi Bugyo Ebola virus, a rare strain of Ebola, in the Democratic Republic of Congo, with confirmed cross-border spread to Uganda. This is the third recorded Bundi Bugyo Ebola virus outbreak and the ninth overall FIC in WHO history. The Ebola virus genus contains six species: Zaire, Bundi Bugyo, Sudan, Tar Forest, Reston, and Bombali. The Bundi Bugyo Ebola virus was first identified in 2007 in Bundi Bugyo district, Uganda, and the second outbreak occurred in the Democratic Republic of Congo in 2012. The current outbreak, as of the declaration date, 17 May 2026, has 8 confirmed and 246 suspected cases in the Democratic Republic of Congo, and 2 confirmed cases in Uganda, with cross-border spread via a traveler. The WHO's Emergency Committee has been convened to declare a FIC, which is the highest alert level under the International Health Regulations, 2005. The FIC declaration triggers international coordination, travel and trade guidance, and emergency funding. The WHO's Strategic Preparedness and Response Plan has been activated, and the Gavi and CEPI are fast-tracking Bundi Bugyo Ebola virus vaccine research funding. Now, let's lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. The FIC is the highest alert level under the International Health Regulations, 2005, which governs the declaration of public health emergencies. The WHO has declared 9 PHEICs in its history, including the 2014-16 West Africa Ebola epidemic, which was the largest Ebola outbreak. The Bundi Bugyo Ebola virus is a rare strain of Ebola, with a case fatality rate of approximately 25-36%. The UPSC angle for this topic is GS Paper 2, which covers international organizations, and GS Paper 3, which covers science and technology. The WHO's role in declaring PHEICs, the International Health Regulations, 2005, and the global response to emerging infectious disease outbreaks are relevant. In the mains exam, you may be asked to evaluate the adequacy of international health governance mechanisms under the International Health Regulations, 2005, in responding to emerging infectious disease outbreaks like the 2026 Bundi Bugyo Ebola FIC. Now, let's move on to the next topic. The Solar Wind Magnetosphere Ionosphere Link Explorer, or SMILE, a joint mission of the European Space Agency, or ESA, and the Chinese Academy of Sciences, or CAS, was launched on 19 May 2026 aboard a Vegasi rocket from the Guiana Space Center in French Guiana. SMILE will, for the first time, continuously image Earth's magnetosphere using soft X-ray imaging, providing real-time global maps of magnetospheric dynamics, which is a breakthrough in space weather science. The Earth's magnetosphere is the region of space dominated by the Earth's magnetic field, which deflects the solar wind and shields life from harmful radiation. Disruptions, such as geomagnetic storms, can damage satellites, power grids, and GPS systems. The solar wind magnetosphere interaction has never been imaged globally in real time, and previous studies relied on point measurements from individual satellites. The ESA-CAS cooperation was formally agreed upon in 2015, and SMILE represents one of the largest ongoing ESA-China scientific collaborations. The Vegasi rocket is ESA's medium-lift launch vehicle, operated by Arianespace from Kora, and this launch marks the operational reinstatement of the Vegasi rocket. Now, let's look at the key facts. the SMILE mission will be launched into a highly elliptical orbit with an apogee of around 121,000 kilometers and a perigee of around 5,000 kilometers with a 53-hour orbital period. The key instrument on board SMILE is the Soft X-ray Imager, or SXI, which uses lobster eye optics to image soft X-rays emitted during solar wind charge exchange with the magnetosphere. The UPSC angle for this topic is GS Paper 3, which covers science and technology, and GS Paper 2, which covers international relations. The ESA missions, space weather, magnetosphere science, X-ray astronomy instrumentation, and India's ISRO-ESA cooperation context are relevant. In the mains exam, you may be asked to discuss the significance of global collaborative missions like SMILE in advancing space weather preparedness. Now, let's move on to the next topic. Defense Minister Rajnath Singh visited Seoul, South Korea, on May 19 to 20, 2026, signing three defense cooperation agreements with South Korea, the most significant being a defense cyber cooperation MOU, which is the first of its kind between the two nations. The visit also covered the KINDEX Defense Accelerator, the second production batch of the K-9 Vajrati self-propelled howitzer, and bilateral cooperation in UN peacekeeping operations. The India-South Korea bilateral relations were elevated to a special strategic partnership in 2015 during PM Modi's Seoul visit, and defense cooperation has been a pillar since. The K-9 Vajrati self-propelled howitzer is a licensed production by L&T in India, with the first batch of 100 guns delivered to the Indian Army by 2022, and the second batch of 100 currently under negotiation. The Defense Cyber Cooperation MOU is a framework for real-time cyber threat intelligence sharing, joint incident response, capacity building, and protection of defense networks, signed with South Korea's Defense Acquisition Program Administration, or DAPA. The NDC-KNDU Institutional Cooperation MOU is an agreement between the National Defense College, India, and the Korea National Defense University, or KNDU, for exchange of defense research, officer training, and strategic studies. The UPSC angle for this topic is GS Paper 2, which covers international relations, and GS Paper 3, which covers security. The importance of defense cyber MOUs, military cyber cooperation frameworks, and India's cyber security policy are relevant. In the mains exam, you may be asked to analyze the strategic significance of India-South Korea defense cooperation, with particular reference to the 2026 cyber MOU. Now, let's move on to the next topic. The Maharashtra government has signed a series of nuclear energy MOUs, aggregating to 25,400 megawatts of nuclear power capacity, worth approximately 6.5 lakh crore, which is around $78 billion. The agreements include the flagship NPCIL-EDF Jaitpur Nuclear Power Project, a NPCIL-NTPC joint venture, and other nuclear supply chain partnerships, all aligned with India's Vision 2047 target to scale nuclear capacity to 100 gigawatts by 2047. India's current installed nuclear capacity is approximately 7,480 megawatts, with a share of around 3% in total electricity generation. The Vision 2047 nuclear target requires a 13-fold increase from the current capacity, demanding massive investment and policy reform. The Jaitpur Nuclear Power Project, proposed in Ratnagiri District, Maharashtra, is a 6-unit project, with each unit having a capacity of 1,650 megawatts, making it the world's largest nuclear power plant by capacity, if built. The UPSC angle for this topic is GS Paper 3, which covers economy and energy security, and GS Paper 2, which covers governance and legislative framework. The National Biofuel Policy 2018 targets feedstocks and forex savings are standard prelims facts. In the mains exam, you may be asked to critically examine the CLND Act 2010 and the Atomic Energy Act 1962 as barriers to achieving the 100 gigawatts nuclear target by 2047. In conclusion, these developments have significant implications for India's energy security, defense cooperation, space weather science, and nuclear energy policy. As you prepare for the UPSC exam, remember to stay updated on current events and analyze their relevance to the syllabus.